Hello, and welcome to the Project 119 Bible Reading Plan podcast. Today is Monday, December 26th, and my name is Amy Hirsch. During this season, we're reading passages of scripture and devotional thoughts from our Advent devotional guide titled God Dwell, God with Us. Today, I'll be reading Mark chapter 15, and after I read the passage, I'll share some devotional thoughts on the passage. Today's devotional is titled Life Through Death. Mark chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. Very early in the morning, the chief priests, with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin made their plans. So they bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. "Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "You have said so," Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things. So again Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of." But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now it was the custom at the festival to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was imprisoned with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate, knowing it was out of self-interest that the chief priests had handed over Jesus. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why? What crime has he done?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led Jesus away from into the palace, that is, the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified him with the two rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" While some of them standing near heard him, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, and put it on a staff, offering it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Younger and of Joseph, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. It was Preparation Day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. Joseph brought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, saw where he was laid. At first, it might seem odd to be reading an account of the crucifixion on the day after Christmas. This is usually a time when we're thinking about the sweet baby Jesus asleep in the manger, surrounded by bleating sheep and mooing cows. But without Easter, Christmas loses its meaning. Jesus, the Son of God, came into the world in order that we might have life. And the life that he came to bring would only come through death. As I was reading Mark 15, though, I was struck by his final words on the cross according to Mark's account. My God, why have you forsaken me? In Jesus' final moments, he cried out to God in agony, quoting Psalm 22 to his Father. In those moments, as he suffered on the cross, I can't even imagine the physical torment he was facing. But the emotional torment he must have been feeling had to be unbearable. On the cross, Jesus took the weight of our sin, and as he bore the penalty we deserved for sin, in those final moments, he felt as if God the Father had forsaken him. Jesus knows what it's like to suffer. Every time we cry out, wondering where God is, I'm reminded of Jesus on the cross, who endured that kind of suffering, the kind of suffering I'll never know on my behalf. He felt separated from the Father, and though it would have been impossible for God the Son to stop being God, in those moments on the cross, Jesus must have felt so far away from the Lord. But his suffering was not pointless. In verses 37 and 38, as Jesus breathed his last, the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. While this might seem like an insignificant detail to include, it wasn't just any curtain. It was the curtain separating the holy place from the Holy of Holies, where the high priest would enter once a year for the Day of Atonement. The curtain would have been 60 feet high, 30 feet wide, and braided with many twisted plaits. The feat of the curtain being torn like that is incredible, but the symbolism is what makes it even more meaningful. The author of Hebrews tells us that through Christ's death, the curtain was torn and a way was made for all of us, not just the high priest, to enter into the holy presence of God, not through the blood of a sacrifice slaughtered on the Day of Atonement, but through Christ's blood sprinkled on our hearts. Life comes through death. Through Jesus' death on the cross, we are offered abundant life and invited to enter into God's presence. And though Jesus felt forsaken on the cross, because of his death, we can now know that God will never abandon us, and nothing can separate us from his love. Will you pray with me? Lord, on this day after Christmas, as we ponder the beauty and the agony of the cross, we are reminded of all that Jesus endured for us, that we might know your love and your mercy and your presence in a way that we could not have apart from his saving work. God, in moments of despair and in moments where we wonder where you are, help us to take comfort that Jesus has walked this path before us. And that just as you didn't abandon Jesus to the grave, but you raised him up to life, you will also not abandon us. We are so grateful for the truth that nothing can separate us from your love, that in all things we are more than conquerors through Jesus. We pray all of this in his name. Amen.